WCKUW, where people share the music they love. 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Find our program schedule in every issue of Stylist magazine.
Across Canada and around the world, Indigenous youth are driving change and innovating for a just and prosperous future. Young People Know is a podcast series featuring conversations with Indigenous young people about what organizations can do to get youth engagement right. Brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation and Indigenous 150 Plus. Find Young People Know on all podcast players or by visiting indigenouspodcast.ca.
They're called beggars, drunks, even bums. But these people you see on the streets have names, families, and stories. Over 5 episodes, I'm going to introduce you to some of them. I'm Kathleen Martins, and this is Our Relatives. Let's start with a little karaoke.
There he is.
All right.
Good evening, 190.
Check, check. 190 is the street address for Nadinawimak, Winnipeg's newest and only Indigenous-led homeless shelter. It sits at the bottom of the Disraeli Freeway, next to the city's downtown core. Tonight, we're in a large common room that doubles as the cafeteria.
Shed a tear, 'cause I'm missing you. Still all right, smile. Girl, I think about you every day.
It's karaoke night, a monthly feature offered when the temperatures drive more people indoors. This is the only room where men and women interact. Their dorms are separate and located on different floors. Rick Moorlag is one of the employees. Singing about patience seems appropriate. Rick gives off a laid-back vibe. He's the night manager who handles intake at this shelter that doesn't turn anyone away, whether they're drunk or high or in between.
Karaoke at a homeless shelter, I believe, it brings people back to when they're having a good time. Having a good time with people, socializing, kind of tribal mentality a little bit, community, everyone having fun together.
Only want to see you breathing in the purple rain, purple.
That's not right. The Wi-Fi is glitching and causing some songs to cut in and out, but nobody seems to mind. Some people sleep right through the music on their chairs, while others lounge on black mats on the floor. Two couples are up slow dancing. The songs are as varied as the people, sort of like homelessness in a nutshell. Everybody needs a roof over their heads, but not for the same reasons.
Love somebody, love somebody, way I love you.
The elderly man belting out this Bee Gees classic is in a wheelchair.
You don't know what it's like. Love somebody, love somebody.
Yeah. At last count, about 1,250 people were homeless in Winnipeg. That's according to the official street census of 2022. An overwhelming majority of those surveyed identified as being Indigenous. At least 50 were over the age of 65, and one was 80 years old. 18 was the most common age at which they found themselves on the street, usually after aging out of foster care.
So we have 100 beds down here, and 50 upstairs for the women. This is a common area.
Frank Parks is the First Nations Executive Director of Nadinawimak. He's also a musician. He says his band might play the shelter one night.
We are Indigenous-led, and we're low barrier.
Yeah, can you explain what that means?
What that means is we don't turn people away when they're intoxicated or under the effect of drugs. Other shelters will turn away people that are highly intoxicated, yeah.
Nadinawimak has beds for about 150 people and capacity for another 50. It serves 600 meals a day and houses thousands of people. Unlike the other three major shelters, this one remains open during the day.
The moccasin telegraph is a powerful communication tool, so we're well known in the community as a space for Indigenous people. So we do have a percentage that are non-Indigenous or that kind of thing, but again, we don't turn anybody away.
Catherine, see your slippery wine, you're up.
Catherine Myron is a former radio disc jockey. She's in between houses and has been on the street for about a year. Her soft voice and good looks cause heads to turn, especially among the men. Being a young homeless woman is the epitome of vulnerability.
Believe me, I do worry about my safety, you know, especially being female. And, you know, sometimes you'll dress down or even dress like a guy just to stay away from that.
Catherine comes from Long Plain First Nation, an Ojibwe and Dakota community about an hour west of Winnipeg. It's the home of two women who lived on the street before they disappeared in 2022. Their names were Morgan Harris and Mercedes Myron. Winnipeg police allege Harris and Myron were murdered by a serial killer who frequented the shelters.
I think I read something in the newspaper, and I think that's exactly the issue.
An APTN investigation found that Indigenous women accounted for 65% of all female homicides in Winnipeg between 2018 and 2022. In 2022 alone, Indigenous women represented nearly 20% of all homicides in the city, while making up just 6% of the population. Indigenous women also accounted for every unsolved female homicide in the last 5 years. A national inquiry that ended in 2019 found they were 12 times more likely to be murdered and go missing than non-Indigenous women in Canada. The inquiry concluded colonialism was the root cause of this violence and labeled the ongoing hate a genocide.
How come you're here tonight at the shelter?
Well, I'm just like everybody else. I used to be a radio personality, so I worked on radio for over 10 years. Then I went into food security. I started a couple orchards to help there. And, everyone in their life encounters barriers, roadblocks that we put up ourselves sometimes. It could be addiction, it could be mourning, it could be separation, you know, and I suffered all three. And so I found myself in a situation where I had nowhere to turn, and luckily, you know, the shelters and people that are at the shelters, they've helped me. So I'm just trying to find myself again, I guess.
And how did it feel when you were singing?
It actually, it helped me today. Today's a very special day. It's my son's birthday, so yeah, I wanted to, I didn't get to see him, but hopefully somewhere, you know, he feels my love for him.
When Canada was being settled, politicians created special rules for Indigenous peoples. They were herded into segregated communities. Their children were forced to attend Indian residential schools. Their families were subjected to racist child welfare practices. Frank says the effects can be seen in the homeless community.
They are our relatives. And, you know, when we talk about relatives, you know, you've heard that thing, the 6 degrees of separation, right? And it all leads to Kevin Bacon. And well, the reality is you probably only have to go 2 degrees and you know somebody who's homeless or has been homeless or is on the verge of being homeless. So we use the term relative to describe them because they are that close to us or our family.
Rick is one example. He's a First Nations man adopted by a white family during what's known as the 60s scoop. That's when Indigenous children were taken from their homes to be raised by non-Indigenous people between the late 1950s and early 1980s.
I did find my adopted parents, my biological parents, and to be honest, it was my biological mother was only 12 when she had me. So when I found her, she was only 12 years older than I was. So she was in the system back then.
Like survivors of residential schools, those apprehended during the 60s scoop lost their language, culture, and Indigenous identities. It's a pain, a trauma, that can lead people to addiction, and addiction can lead to homelessness.
Were you ever homeless?
I was. I was homeless by choice. Like I said, I had an RCMP family. There were rules that Rick didn't necessarily want to follow. So I chose to, when I was 17, chose to go live in a tent in the Yukon. It was more of a choice. Like I said, I could go home. But I learned that everybody needs love. Everybody needs to feel kindness.
By the way, Nadinawemak means our relative's place in Ojibwe. On the next episode of Our Relatives, the streets can be a dangerous place. So can homeless shelters. Teresa Bauer is a Cree woman who was sexually assaulted at Nadinawemak.
At 190, I was sleeping in front of a kiwi, and just around the corner is the entrance.
Yes.
And I fell asleep in front of the TV, and I woke up, there was a sheet on me, and my pants were down. And I just turned around and started punching the guy out. And then I got up and I started screaming.
I'm Kathleen Martins. Goodbye for now. Written and reported by Kathleen Martins. Recorded and edited by Jesse Andrushko. Produced by Mark Blackburn. Theme music by Backyard Rink. Cover art by Shania Murdoch and Alicia Dawn.
Hello, I'm Rick Harp, host of APTN News Brief, a daily podcast version of the nightly broadcast of APTN National News. Available on all major podcast platforms, APTN News Brief is your quick way to hear the headlines every weekday morning. Learn more at aptnnews.ca/podcasts.
Radio that's passionate, genuine, and personal. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Across Canada and around the world, Indigenous youth are driving change and innovating for a just and prosperous future. Young People Know is a podcast series featuring conversations with Indigenous young people about what organizations can do to get youth engagement right. Brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation and Indigenous 150 Plus. Find Young People Know on all podcast players or by visiting indigenouspodcast.ca.
There was a time during the pandemic when homeless people became more visible than ever before. Their usual haunts were closed and social distancing reduced the number of shelter beds, so some began living in Winnipeg Transit bus shelters. The glass enclosures are meant to protect bus riders from the sun, rain, and snow. But one became home for Teresa Bauer after she was sexually assaulted at Nadinawimak, an Indigenous homeless shelter. She lived in the bus shack for 2 months during a frigid Manitoba winter. Begging the question, where are Indigenous women supposed to feel safe? I'm Kathleen Martins. This is Our Relatives. A warning. This episode deals with disturbing subject matter.
No person should be living in there. I'm sure we can do much better than this. Nobody should have to live like this.
It's one of the busiest blocks on Main Street. Today it's the site of a protest.
I know exactly the things that goes on in these places, and it's very horrible, the things that go on. And if the public knew, then they would be out there with us and trying to get this place shut down also.
Barb Guimond and Vinnie Lilly advocate for some of the most vulnerable people in society, the homeless. They're worried about the Manwin Hotel, a dilapidated building on the Main Street Strip that rents 30 rooms by the month. People have been killed here.
Yeah, I heard the last murder that went on.
When was that?
A month ago, 2 months ago.
Was it in the room?
That guy's like, please, remember me, remember me.
Who was the victim?
Some old man, that's all I know.
What happened to him?
He got beaten to death.
Tammy, who wouldn't give her last name, is from an Ojibwe community northeast of Winnipeg. She and her boyfriend use drugs and live in one of the cramped rooms. It's something they wouldn't be able to do together at a homeless shelter.
It's Mamacita.
I'm with the Barbara, but I don't know
where. It should be condemned.
Yes.
People should not be living in here. People should not be going into this building.
Yeah.
It is falling apart. It is one giant fucking trap house.
Yeah,
it is awful. People die here constantly, and nobody fucking knows about it.
That's why Barb is here. She's leading the charge to shut the Manwin down.
I went in there into the lobby,
mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get past there because the smell, the scent.
What does it smell like?
Terrible.
Well, can you, like,
urine? A mixture of urine and whatever. I have a high tolerance for smell, and I couldn't stand that. I had to walk out. And I don't see how people can be living in there.
Today, she's taking reporters inside, where it's dark, looks like trouble, and reeks of neglect. The owners defend their business. They say the rooms are needed when shelter beds fill up, and the 134-year-old building is undergoing repairs ordered by the city. They charge $650 a month for a room without a bathroom. So much grime and garbage collects on this block that city workers regularly pressure wash the sidewalk.
Well, it's decrepit and just uninhabitable, in my opinion. I've heard that there's kids being taken there and women being held against their will there, and that's not right.
There are 4 homeless shelters in this area, once known as Skid Row. It's about 15 minutes north of the famous intersection at Portage and Main.
So you're closing down a Manwin?
I hope so.
Right on.
I hope so.
Yeah. This is terrible.
Yeah.
The Manwin is covered in graffiti and several windows are broken. It's sandwiched between the Main Street Project homeless shelter and a food bank. Barb fears women are lured inside for a drink, a fix, or a place to sleep, especially since a suspected serial killer allegedly met his victims at homeless shelters.
More trafficking, human trafficking of our women, more murders of our women, and that's what I'm trying to prevent. No more stolen sisters.
Statistics show Indigenous women are 4 times more likely to be victims of crime than non-Indigenous women. That number quadruples if they are homeless.
My sister's name was Stephanie Ann Henderson. She was a mother of 5 children. She got married when she was young, 17. She left an abusive marriage. And she came out to the city, got involved with drugs.
The median age for women experiencing homelessness in Winnipeg is 36. Barb's sister was about that age when she was murdered.
This was 2004 is when she got killed, execution style. And of course we had a closed casket.
Her sister's murder drives Barb to keep an eye on homeless women and girls, and the Manwin.
My dad told us to let it go and we'll just let her rest in peace. But her story needs to be told too.
Winnipeg is a capital city with about 1 million people. It has the largest urban Indigenous population in Canada at 18%. There are 634 First Nations in Canada, with 63 of them in Manitoba. Just west of Portage and Main is the city's downtown, where the Winnipeg Jets play. Most of the workers have gone for the day, when Ashley, who wouldn't say her last name, has a transit bus shelter to herself.
So I choose to be on the street. So till I change my lifestyle, then I won't have to live like this.
Ashley has been homeless since her children went into foster care. Mothers who grow up in the child welfare system are flagged as parenting risks. There are about 10,000 children in Manitoba's child welfare system. Approximately 90% of them are Indigenous.
I fought every day to get him back in 7, and it just wasn't getting me anywhere. So, I mean, if I was at home with my kids, I wouldn't be in this area, you know what I mean?
Ashley has ties to a Cree community in Alberta. Here, she sleeps on a friend's couch or in dark places outside. She lost her monthly child support when the kids were seized, and her home when she couldn't pay the rent.
Advocates say it's poverty, addiction, and domestic violence that usually put women on the street. They don't mention how losing your children could cause all three. That's what happened to Morgan Harris.
That broke my mother, Morgan. What she faced after that was something that no person ever of any color should have to face. Struggling with addictions, losing her home, losing her children, battling mental illness. Morgan didn't deserve. She didn't deserve to live in fear. She didn't deserve anything that was passed on to her within her life. Morgan didn't deserve to get beaten by men on the streets and raped.
Cambria Harris is Morgan's eldest daughter. She eulogized her mom at a recent candlelight vigil, where there were prayers, songs, and drumming.
Those were the stories that I heard growing up, and that's the stark reality of an Indigenous woman struggling to find a safe place on the streets. Morgan didn't deserve to be sleeping in back lanes. Morgan didn't deserve to be sleeping on a thin little bed on a metal frame in a shelter. And she deserved so much more, and she was worth so much more.
Morgan and Ashley weren't eligible to stay in women's shelters because they weren't victims of domestic violence. When Morgan died in 2022, police alleged she was murdered by a suspected serial killer. She was one of four Indigenous women a Winnipeg man is accused of killing. It's been cleaned up since the pandemic, when Air Canada Park became a homeless encampment known for shocking daytime violence. It's in this downtown green space where Teresa Bauer shares her story of being sexually assaulted at a homeless shelter.
I fell asleep in front of the TV and I woke up, there was a sheet on me and my pants were down and I just turned around and started punching the guy out. And then I got up and I started screaming. My pants was down.
You woke up in time.
Yeah.
And then you decided on what?
I'm not staying there. I'm not safe there.
Teresa fled to a bus shelter.
I stayed there for 2 months, and I stayed there when the last storm of the winter.
A Cree woman from northern Manitoba. She was 5 when her mother died. She was sent 750 kilometers to Winnipeg to grow up in foster care, where she was sexually abused. But the motorists who honked at her in the bus shelter and flipped her the bird didn't know that.
I don't care what people say. They can say whatever they want to say.
Okay. The Manwin.
Yeah.
I'll see you later, Barbara. So in front of the Manwin.
Barb was sexually assaulted in her Anishinaabe Nation outside Winnipeg by a known predator. She says it's a terrifying experience that happens in many communities and sends victims packing for the city, where they aren't really safe at all.
My sister told me, Barb, thanks for everything. I love you. And that's the last time we saw her alive.
On the next episode of Our Relatives.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Homeless people are largely invisible. They miss out on a lot of things and the support of family and friends until someone mentions their birthday. I'm Kathleen Martins. Goodbye for now. Our Relatives, written and reported by Kathleen Martins. Recorded and edited by Jesse Andrushko. Produced by Mark Blackburn. Original theme music by Backyard Rink. Cover art by Shania Murdoch and Alicia Dawn.
Hello, I'm Rick Harp, host of APTN News Brief, a daily podcast version of the nightly broadcast of APTN National News. Available on all major podcast platforms, APTN News Brief is your quick way to hear the headlines every weekday morning. Learn more at aptnnews.ca/podcasts.
Hi, I'm Zach. I'm a DIY DJ, and you can be one too. This is Listener Driven Radio, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
I watch you in the morning, getting ready from the bed. All your little movements slowly rolling round my head. If I can't beat this, if I can't release this, if I can't defeat this, don't be mad. I'm writing you a message. I'm conjuring every sound. I'll whisper you a song to sing when no one's around. But if I can't beat this, if I can't release this, there's nothing underneath this. Don't be sad. I can feel the sunlight creep. Like a spider on a ledge, I pretend to keep on sleeping, but it's too late for that. Like a spinning wheel through a flickering light, you apologize for waking me up. I say that's all right.
This is one of your hosts, Kaylee, from Destination Moon radio program, where we play fun and obscure 50s and 60s records every Monday night. We have a new time slot from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., so please join us.
Located on the first floor of Portage Place Shopping Center, Studio 393 is a come-as-you-are drop-in studio space for people aged 13 to 29, run by Graffiti Art Programming. The program curriculum is shaped by participants focusing on music production, recording, DJing, creative writing, and podcasting. In addition to a highly qualified staff of practicing artists, Studio 393 also receives local, national, and international guest artists and professionals to facilitate workshops and mentor aspiring and emerging artists. We also offer personal and professional development opportunities. Studio 393 is now open 4 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. For more information, please contact info@graffitigallery.ca or go to www.graffitigallery.ca.
Looking back now, it happened so quickly. The collapse and demise of all rational thought and this little surprise. It's leading to more. Different mind, always opposed what you do not know.
it's a building, uh-huh, and the colors subside from sight, as everyone seems to see in black and white, it's leading to more.
Nonsensical, but we can never stop. And my friends disappointed, and my need for discussion.
This is Debbie, your host of Active Voice, inviting you to join me Sunday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. We feature Manitoba's vibrant choral community and voices from many different genres, times, traditions, and cultures. You're sure to find voices you love. That's Active Voice, Sundays at 2 p.m. at CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
The West End Research Center Stepping Stones to Work program is a free training program for job seekers on EIA with a criminal record. The Stepping Stones to Work program offers first aid, CPR training, safe food handling, workplace hazardous materials information system training, as well as employment readiness workshops. Training is offered year-round. For more information and to find out if you are eligible, please phone 204-202-6932, extension 106. That's 204-202-6932, extension 106. The West End Resource Center is located at 832 Ellis Avenue at Arlington. Meteorologists and their forecasts for rain.
show, I'd have that local kind of fame. I could be your weatherman, you would know my name. Our kids would say that's my dad, the weatherman. Everyone knows his name. So won't you let me be your weatherman?
It's the heavy lifting of the soul. It's when to rock and when to roll. All the senses here combine to tell me to pay attention to the news, to talk show headlines with the clues of how to be and how to stay courageous. Tell me, oh, kept me safe, to all that led me to the place where I can let it go, let it lie. I thank you by my maker's hand, knowing what I did not know, that I might stand here willing to receive it. Sympathetic thought, the kind of thing that tears the walls down. Oh, when the night has come, and oh, the night has come, and love has come for me, has come for me,
come for me.
It's the heavy lifting of the soul. It's when to rock and when to roll. All the senses here combine to tell me to pay attention to the news, to talk show headlines with the clues of how to be and how to stay courageous. Tell me, oh. Me safe, to all that led me to the place where I can let it go, let it lie. I thank you by my maker's hand, knowing what I did not know, that I might stand here willing to receive it.
Face.
comes to fill the space that I'm within. Sympathetic thought, the kind of thing that tears the walls down. Oh, when the night has come. And oh, the night has come. And love has come to me, has come to me.
Come for me.
Tune into On My Way Home, broadcast on CKUW 95.9 FM on Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Hosted by your host with the most, Justin Fuhr, On My Way Home is a show exploring music, lyrics, and literature. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll keep me in your heart for a while. On My Way Home, it's a drive-home show for when you're already home. Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in one great city of Winnipeg, Manitoba.